It's time to make disciples who make disciples.
With Church of the Savior in Worcester, here's Dr. Brent Durham with today's word from Church of the Savior.
So we're going to jump out of Galatians a little bit, just for a few Sundays. We're still looking at strongholds, though, because sin is the biggest stronghold that we all have in common. It takes different forms in our lives, and some of it no one else can see, but it still is present in our lives, those strongholds that hold us back from experiencing everything that God has for us. So do you pray? Do you pray? Now, here's the thing. When you ask somebody that, they're always probably going to say, yeah, because they prayed at some point in their life over dinner, or they got in trouble and they needed to pray. And who are they praying to? Because a lot of people pray to a God that is not the God that we worship. They pray to a God that is sort of like a cosmic vending machine, where they want something and they go and they put their quarter in, that's the prayer, and then they receive something. That's not how it works. The other time people really get into prayer is when they do get into trouble. And mine has been that way at different times in my life. Mine has been, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm in trouble. I need peace. I need help. I need forgiveness. Help me out of this situation. That's not a relationship, though. What's the world need the most? I mean, what does the world need the most today? What does our country need the most? How about our community? How about our church? What do we need the most at our church? Look around. It's not just the empty pews. It's the empty altars. That's what we need. We want people to come, and we want them to repent, to come down to the altars and to give Jesus everything. If we're not a church that does that, if we're not a church that's trying to do that, if we're not having momentum in that direction, we're not a church. This is a club. That's what it comes to. What's your family need the most right now? They need Jesus. That's the obvious thing. They need Jesus. How's that going to happen? Let me read to you Isaiah 53. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that has brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We are all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. The Lord has said on him, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter and as a sheep before its shears in silence. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested it? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what he did for the world. People gone to church, sat in church their entire lives, and yet that's never connected with them. You need to connect with that. Having Jesus as your Savior is not just a picnic. It doesn't just help you get through things. It is something that was sacrificed for you. When the Son of God takes that on, you need to be aware of it. So we're going to look at Acts a little bit. The book of Acts, how many of you knew this? The book of Acts is named for the Acts of the Holy Spirit. See, Luke focuses on the earthly ministry of Jesus when he writes his gospel. The gospel of Luke is about Jesus' ministry in the flesh. The book of Acts picks up on that, and it continues, but it's with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, right? And Holy Spirit, that term or reference is in Acts over 50 times. We're not going just from the physical ministry of Jesus, we're going to the spiritual ministry that the Holy Spirit continues on. His ministry, this is the Holy Spirit's ministry, is to baptize, infill, and lead believers in their daily lives and to witness for Jesus Christ. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't get. When you're sharing Christ with someone, you should be depending on the Holy Spirit to give you the words. My point is, the Holy Spirit's job is to infill us and to lead us. And the words that you speak, what we most likely are going to experience is anxiety if we do it wrong. Who cares if you say it wrong? Who cares if, as long as you're putting Jesus at the cross as the Savior who redeems, that's what people need to know. Your experience, your relationship with Christ is what you need to share with people. And God will bring things to mind you need to know. If you're praying, about reaching somebody, I know with all confidence, the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind when you're talking to him the things that he wants them to know. You have to trust in him, though, and you have to pray. That means you have a relationship with him. So Acts 2, verse 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in the homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, we had four people that were baptized today. We had two people yesterday. Some of them are recommitments or their baptisms to tell the world. But some of them, like Tyler's, that's a first-time commitment. He's now telling the world. He just asked Christ into his life a week ago. He's telling the world that that's who he's going to live for. Those are the kinds of things we should be celebrating. Not whether we met the budget, that's important. Not whether we sent enough in faith promise, that's important. Not how many people are here in the service, that's important. Are people coming to Jesus? That last sentence, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's look at this. Let's break it down a little bit. First, they received the word together. That's how we're to be as brothers and sisters. That's why it says we're one mind. They were of one mind. Now, some people go into the sharing part. They shared everything, their possessions and stuff. That's not like communism. It means that they had some sense. They were together and they helped each other out. When somebody's in need, we're always ready to step up. Two times I had surgery in the last 2 years. I had more food in 3 or 4 weeks than I had stomach, because some of you thought maybe there were 8 or 10 people eating at my place. Next verse, 43, continued to be steadfast. What's that mean, steadfast? It means to be steady in anything that comes along. It means that you can be hopeful. You can depend on something. It's going to keep. It's going to be strong. It's going to stay together. 43, stirred souls. Their souls were stirred. They were in awe of what God was doing. And it was a godly fear, not like they were afraid, but a godly fear that was reverent. And they knew that they needed to obey. Have you ever really enjoyed obeying something? Maybe it's tithing when you didn't have any money and you're thinking, I don't really have it, but I'm going to do it anyways. And God has blessed you some way after that. Or maybe it's some procedure that's needed done and the Lord said, I'm not giving you any peace because it's not the right diagnosis. And you've not done it and things have worked out. There's lots of different scenarios, but being reverent to God and being obedient to him does bring joy. Some of you I'm really praying hard for, that God will change your heart, that you will surrender everything, not just show up, not just do the right things, but you will surrender everything in your life. Or I've been playing this song, and I've been listening to that, Jesus Have It All. It's the prayer that I have for you. Help our people, help Church of the Savior. Pray, Jesus Have It All. Take everything, take all. Control everything in my life. Verse 44 and 45, we're together sharing in ministry to be equipped. They were sharing together and they were being equipped. They listened to the apostles' teachings. They were spending time together. How do you develop a relationship? You spend time together. You practice things together. You do things together. You go through hard times together. You go through good times together. The point is, being equipped comes from community because we're helping each other out. Anybody know how to weld? No, put your hand up a little bit higher so I can see, will you? Because I need some welding done. Okay. I would love to know how to weld. I don't know how to weld. I'm not really sure that I should get a book or watch a YouTube video that would teach me how to weld. That makes sense? I would have to have somebody teach me. Well, it's the same with your Christian life. How do you have devotions? How do you pray? How do you serve? How do you have a humble attitude? How do you be evangelistic in every day of your life in the moments that don't have some big performance? You need somebody to mentor you, somebody to disciple you. They were being unified as they were maturing in faith. They were being unified. What's that mean? When it says they were of a common mind, it means that they all understood the most important thing. Used to be that a pastor needed to wear a suit and women wearing pants. No, all that legalism stuff. Those are side things. Those are not important. What's important? God's word and knowing Jesus Christ. Him not just being your savior, but being Lord of your life. And that means that he's Lord over it all. And it means also that you are pursuing him through prayer. So, last verse, 47, this is an example for us to follow today because they were people that did several things. They worshiped, they praised God daily, and they were encouraged. Now, in our time, it's not possible for us to all come to the church every day, but you can do that where you're at. You don't need to have a band. Any of the things that most people think about worship, you can worship God in your own heart, in your own place. One of the places that is meaningful for me to worship God is in the woods, looking at God's creation, knowing that He is God, that He created all these things. If He took the care and the creativity to make all of these things, what's that mean about me? Because He made me in His image. And when you worship God, you pour your heart out to how great He is, how mighty He is, how powerful He is, and you claim the promises that He gives you. He gives you these promises in Scripture. If you get into God's Word and you start to really have a deeper relationship with you. Hey, but when you journal your prayers, you have a record of being able to go back and see how God answered it. You have a record of God's faithfulness, whether He answered it the way you wanted Him to or a different way. And when you look at that and you remember those things, started writing on the windows Scripture verses so that I see them every day. That's weird. You should be weird too. Because if you're going to be a Christian in today's world, if you're going to follow Jesus today, you're weird. People are going to think you're weird because this is foolishness to the world. It makes no sense. Use me. That should be your prayer today and every day from now on. Use me, God. Jesus, where I'm at, use me. Use me. Whatever way you want, use me. Use me as a tool. Because listen, we're all broken pots that the potter has reformed and made whole. Your life is redeemed if you're in Christ. You're delivered from sin that you might have been in bondage to. You have to take the authority, though, and walk in that. So what is unity? Who are we? Well, Church of the Savior is a body of Christ. We're to love and serve Christ and each other. We're praying to be disciples. We're praying to make disciples who make disciples. How does that start? It starts with prayer. It starts for you praying for it. John 17:17-21, Jesus prayed this prayer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Romans, Paul writes this in several different verses. So in Christ, we though many form one body and each member belongs to all the others. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know what that means? It means forgiving fast. Matthew 28, I added verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, and He says this to all of us, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What does the S stand for? Steadfast. Be devoted to Christ and to one another. Hold on to the truth of God's word. That's who we are. We're a church that holds on to God's word, and we are devoted to loving Christ and each other. That means you reconcile differences. You are quick to forgive. And you stand for truth in hard times. We are in our country right now. We are in hard times. There are, let alone what the media preaches about Romans 1, homosexuality, lesbian, transgender, all those things are abominations to God. Yeah, but God's all love. Yeah, God loves us. He doesn't want us to stay in sin. And I'm not being hateful. I'm being compassionate right now. I know and am related to people that struggle with those things, and they're living that lifestyle. Do you know what they need? They don't need me to beat them down because the Holy Spirit's probably already trying to do that. They need to know that I'm praying for them, that I love them where they're at, but I'm not going to accept that lifestyle. I'm not going to validate it. And it's not just in our media. It's in our schools. And what's worse is it's in churches. We have people calling themselves pastors who are living gay lives and promoting it. It's an abomination. It's clear in Scripture. If you want to argue about it, I'm going to win because it's in God's word over and over. It's not something that's treaded on lightly. It's not something that is, you know, like, well, that was back then. No, it's wrong. I'm not going to get graphic, but God made men with parts that go with women who are made with women parts. That's how procreation happens. And that union is not just something for people to be sensual about or to experience. It's a union between a man and a woman and God. It is a spiritual union. God will not be mocked. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Whatever you're going through, this is what God wants from you. He wants you to pray. And when it's hard, when it's tough, when you're going up against what the world is preaching or the world is promoting, it's going to be difficult. There's going to be decisions that you have to make that are going to be emotionally anxiety producing. That's okay. You have faith and make the right choice. You choose God over anything else. And let me just clear something up. Just because I'm saying that that's an abomination, those lifestyles, doesn't mean that I don't want them around here. Because you know where they need to be? They need to be here. They need to hear God's word. They need to feel the love that Jesus has for them because they're so confused. They're beyond anything that they've heard or known. Hebrews 6:18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. That's why Jesus came. He came, took on our sin, died, and was resurrected. He has victory over death. We don't have to worry about that. Steadfastness means this, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. The E is equipped. So use, it means unity, steadfast. The E is equipped. We need to be equipping to serve, fellowship, witness, and pray. That is how making disciples who make disciples happen. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Romans, Paul writes this again, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces what? Perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. These scriptures are in your bulletin. But one thing, just let me, before we go into me, one thing I noticed was praying this week and developing the sermon. Do you realize we had a series on James a few years ago? We just finished up with Hebrews, and before Hebrews, we did John. And all the supporting scriptures for Use Me are in those three books. I thought that was interesting. I didn't think that that was like a, I thought that was a God thing. The M stands for maturing in the faith of Christ, in our faith of Christ, obeying him and the word of God, the Holy Spirit, by being obedient to how the Holy Spirit's telling us to apply that word to our life. Look, if you come up with a definition or an application that is different than three or four different places in Scripture, you need to check yourself because there's a flow in all of Scripture that's consistent. Again, James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at a mirror, at their face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. How are you looking today? As we're looking at the scriptures and as we're talking about this sermon, how does your prayer life look today? Romans 8:26 says this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what to pray or what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. You don't know what to pray? Don't worry about it. Pray. I don't know what to pray, Lord, but I know that the Holy Spirit prays in ways that I don't have any idea. And I don't even know what I need right now, but you do. In verse 37, it says this, "No, in all those things, we are more than what? Conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." We're not conquerors outside of Jesus. If you have Jesus in your life, he makes you a conqueror. And finally, encouraging. We need to encourage each other generously. What's that mean? It means that we share Christ. We give gladly. And I don't mean just financial, I mean with your time. Sometimes it's with serving in an area of ministry. Sometimes it's helping out in an area. And you build up the body of Christ. Be generous. Be generous with love, hope, and your resources. That's what Jesus calls us to do. James 3:17 says, "Wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Why is it easy to talk about the evils of this world? Because that's what we're living in. But listen, the world's message needs that they need to hear is the love that Jesus has. It's not just the truth of black and white. It's also the truth of love and what Jesus can do for them, how he can redeem their lives, no matter how bad, how he can deliver them from sin, us from sin. I keep saying them, me. There are issues that I have to continually give over to the Lord and trust him with. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." We're seeing the day approaching. I don't know when it's going to be. Jesus didn't know when it was going to be. Only the Father knows. But here's the thing. You can see the road signs. We're in the day. It's approaching. That's why we need to live holy lives, fully surrendered to Christ, and we need to be praying. Now, I'm going to tell you, next week we'll have our memorial service. But in about 4 weeks, we'll have the stunt show here. Now, the first year we did it came to me, and the people wanted to do it, and it was like, well, they're passionate about it. The Lord's put that on their heart. Let's see where it goes. I was hoping for 70, 100 people. We had over 700. We had a lot of people. Last year we did it, we had over, we think, between 1,100 and 1,300 people. We had 11 people come to Christ, and we were able to baptize them that Sunday. Now, some of you have no clue, and you have no desire to be involved with that. I don't get it. They do these stunts, okay, makes me anxious to watch because you think somebody's going to fall, they're going to, you know, last time I fell, remember what happened to that? I'm not getting on a stunt bike. A couple of people have said, maybe you just ought to start walking around with a helmet on. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to walk around with a helmet. And my point is, you might not see any purpose in it. That's okay. If you're not going to come and help, you can help pick up stuff, you can help clean stuff, or you can help serve stuff, but you can come and pray too. And if you can't come, if you're homebound or if you're listening on YouTube and you can't get out, you need to be praying. You need to be praying that, first of all, people hear about Jesus. We're going to have a short time during this that we're going to share the gospel. And we've got cards, we've got these business cards that have a QR code on them. I'm not going to get mine out. They have a QR code on them. If they take a picture with their phone, it'll take them right to our website and it gives them steps to how to ask Jesus into their life. We need people that are going to stand up and pray because we had some doozies last year. A couple people came and said, "Should we tell these people to leave?" No! You never tell anybody to leave your church. You tell them your name. You ask them what their name is. You talk to them as if you would talk to someone else. You give them respect. You give them love. Doesn't matter how different they are. Doesn't matter how many piercings, how many tattoos, or what they have on. You treat them like the creation that God made them, not what they're trying to communicate to the rest of the world. You let the Holy Spirit do the work on that because he's going to do a way better job than you. Go to your Bible and read it, and then use your journal to pray that back to God. It doesn't have to be the exact quotation. You make it personal. The prayer that you make is personal. Psalms 27 is a personal prayer for me. I didn't pray every verse in it today, but I prayed what I felt God put on my heart. Grow your prayer life. If you're not praying, start. If you have, but you don't pray a lot, start praying more. Just move towards the goal. Move towards what Jesus modeled for us. As you realize, Even on the cross, he said a prayer. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's about the hardest prayer that I would ever be able to imagine to pray for the people that have just beaten everything out of you, who have nailed you to a cross and are mocking, spitting. Pray for them. Father, forgive them. And the thing is, Jesus is not praying that for them to change. He's praying on behalf of them. Who do you need to be praying for this morning on behalf of? Who do you need to be reminded of daily that is in your life and needs to come to Christ? Who do you need to be praying for that needs you, Lord? Who is it and how will it happen? Ask God those things. Pray those things. Pray the scriptures. We're going to close. So stand, and I know that God's been speaking to some of your hearts this morning. If God's asking you to step up, or he's telling you, you need to step up your prayer life, you come forward. Maybe you have never accepted Christ. Maybe you need delivered from sin. I don't know. Maybe God's got something else that he wants you to come forward to the altar to pray about. You do that this morning as we sing.
Thank you for listening to this week's word from Dr. Brent Durham and Church of the Savior.
The church is at 480 Fry Road at Route 30 in Worcester. You can find out more about their mission to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples online at coswooster.com.
Or at COS Worcester, Ohio on Facebook.
Their number is 330-264-5233.
This program has been provided by Church of the Savior in Worcester, Ohio.